Today's episode of Watch What Crappens was brought to you by premium subscribers Claudia Catalina and Christy Doherty. We love you, girls. Now on to the show.
That's what Shaw's Vanderpump rules. Come gather round and make fun of his fools.
A podcast about Bravo. Nothing runs with Bravo.
When there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on the Bravs. I'm Ronnie Carroll from TrashTalkTV.com, and with me today is the gorgeous, fully headed head of hair. How do you say that?
Fully I have head a full head. Oh my God, I thought I was missing the half one half of my head, but no, it's there. Got a full head today.
You've been B-side headed. Ben Mandelker from the B-side blog and the Banter Blender podcast. Welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, Ben.
Oh, why, thank you, Ronnie.
Thanks for being a special guest on your own podcast. Wow.
I just flew in right from Melbourne.
We are here to talk about some crap on Bravo, but first, let's do all our plugs.
Yeah.
Go to watchwhatcrappens.com if you want to find out how to follow us personally. On Insta, Facebook, Grindr, Twitter, whatevs, we're there.
Insta.
You can also come to Facebook.com/WatchWhatCrippins. Yeah. And that's where you can talk to all the other listeners and us about all the shows that are airing on Bravo. We have live show threads usually the nights that these shows are airing, so you can go talk crap there.
It's also a great place. People have been really active in posting kind of like their own inside jokes of the blog. For instance, Edward Mitchum posted a picture of Chateau Charest, which is actually way farther along than I thought it would be, in that the last time we saw it, it was just a bunch of dirt, and now there's actually a structure there. And then also Ashley Kinsel posted a picture of a Share a Coke Zero with David, which I thought was funny.
And who was posting that trailer, that mobile
Denise,
home called Wolf
Denise
Pup?
Lopez had posted a picture of a mobile home that said, "Oh, Wolf Pup, oh, Wolf." And then Betsy Luna said, "Look what's on sale at Target. What a perfect gift for Shannon's daughter. Even Liza would love this gift. A great practice for next chandelier to get trashed." That's right. There's a make-your-own chandelier toy. So it's just kind of amazing. People are just posting all this funny shit that we are really appreciative for.
Yeah. So go there. Facebook.com/WatchWhatCrippins. Also, our bonus episodes are becoming, well, they've always been really fun, but I'm almost looking forward to those as much as these lately, because we just get to talk about whatever we want. And so this week was crazy. We talked about that guy who killed a lion, and then we talked about Below Deck. We did like a kind of talkie preview of that while we watched it. That was really fun. And what else did we talk about? Oh, we talked about I Am Kate. So it's so fun to be able to talk crap about anything we want. We talked about illegal immigration last week. I just love it. You can come get our uninformed opinions on every subject in the book. And those bonus episodes are available for premium subscribers of it, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Mm-hmm,
and you guys are our sugar mamas and daddies and taking care of us. This is our job now, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you everybody who is so supportive there, and everybody who's not, everybody who's just listening to these. We're loving it. We're loving that you're sharing this and keeping us going. So thank everybody.
And we promise we will never kill a lion.
We will never kill a lion, that's for sure. And if we do, we certainly won't skin it and leave its carcass just out in the middle of nowhere and then cry. You know, people are such idiots on Facebook. This guy's like, does this guy have his, does he deserve to have his entire practice ruined and his life ruined and his blah, blah, blah because of internet outrage? Yeah, actually. Yeah, he does. And that's called the power of free speech. Look, you can go kill any lion that you want to, and then the world can close your dentistry down because of it. And that's, you know, it's called consequences, bitch.
Yeah.
So enjoy yourself. The power of Yelp, darling.
Darling. You get a lion, you get one Yelp star.
That's right. Maybe you can move to Zimbabwe and try and help some lions with their caps or some shit like that to make up for it, son of a bitch.
Chef Penny, all right, we have a special treatment of lion coming in, all right? So we're going to do lion tartar. All right, get to your post right now. Chop up that lion meat, mix it with some mustard, and put it on a plate right now.
Don't waste the lion, darling. Lion calf rolls on sale now. You can get one little bowl of lion grilled with a tomato under it, darling. $19. Come over to pump, darling. We're pumping all we can out of that one giant lion.
Darling, come to pump. Chef Penny has made a lion wedge salad. It's basically just the paw sliced up with blue cheese dressing on it. Come eat it. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So there's that. Okay. So also, we've got a surprise today. Two new Bravo songs. That's right. By the actual cast members of Bravo.
I know.
No, you guys are being so supportive and tweeting and stuff that these people are like actually tweeting us their links first. So we're really excited to share those with you a little later in the podcast.
Well, yeah, we have two new songs. One is, why don't we start with this one from Luann. Luann actually, as you all know, she released a song called Girl Code, but I don't know if you heard about this, but there was an original version that she totally scrapped. Yeah. And I guess she made a big fuss about it. And so they went back to the studio, and the one that you're hearing on the show, like on the internet now, is the second version. But the original one has actually been leaked. So we actually have the audio of that right now, and I'm very excited to play it.
Me too. I cannot wait to hear it.
Okay.
Listen up, girls. Class is in session. If you were at a party eating dinner as a guest, would you sneak behind the hostess back to bang the hired chef? No. Your friend brings home a pirate that looks like Johnny Depp. Do you go for sloppy seconds without missing a step? No. We could be the art team. Share lipstick and Tanner.
Yes, girl.
Life could be a scream. You just need simple manners, girl.
I like that it has sort of like a mid-90s kind of vibe to it.
Clinking, drinking, riding limousines. Just remember, darling, you're a princess, I'm a queen. Dinner on a beach while we're on a fat vacay. Do you care with the friend who brings a plate of eggs to La Fontaine? No. You're carrying a title across the desert sand. Do you try and buck her off and make her look like a fool in front of the women who are only here because she planned this trip? No. But a camel would, apparently. Not girl code camel.
We could rule the world. Keep the T-Rex riled. We're the vermin, sir.
Oh, just don't cross the countess, child. Girl code.
Girl code. Girl code.
It's called
girl code. Girl code. Girl code. Giggles, champagne, caviar. Teamed up and the world is ours.
Diamonds, beaches, younger men and glitter. Sister, friend, until the end, or till I'm out on Twitter. About a girl's back, she'll be there when you tumble. Crash or don't come back, she's ready for a rumble. Lunch, brunch, happy hour, party like we own New York. BFF until you eat your salad with the dinner fork.
This is pretty amazing.
Be cool. Don't be all like uncool.
Wow. Wow, that's some brilliance right there.
That is some brilliance. I have
How
to say
that. How in was, the world would they scrap that in the first place?
I don't know. She got across all her main points, all her great talking points.
Pretty much. How would you scrap that? It's not girl code, guys.
Yeah, no, definitely it's not girl
code. Yeah, that's gonna reach the top of the charts, darling.
Darling. So it's so funny because I don't know if you heard about this, But Shannon Bedore is following in the footsteps of Luann. Did you know this? She, like every other housewife, has decided to release a song. So it's a short song. I think it's only like 46 seconds. I think she's just dipping her toes in the world of music.
I cannot wait.
That audio linked also. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course. Bring it.
David. 40 to 50 negative thoughts a day. Who would have thought I could have reached this beautiful place?
David.
Okay, Miss.
David. 30-year-old.
David. Five star cherries.
David.
David. I think it sounds like the next club anthem, if you ask me.
That is amazing.
I think it's actually, I can imagine it really being a dance.
David.
You can't see me, but I'm actually making dance moves. My hands are out. Like, I'm in a glass. I think you have to do, like, a mime, because she's trapped in a hidden box looking for David.
Oh, my God. David. Please David. Make a video of that.
I think we should both make a video, and I think that we have to make a dance move. And I think it is like it's the mime thing against the glass wall.
David.
I think she could get it into Rage or the Abbey. I think so.
That song changed my life. So we'll put these we'll put both of these at the end of the podcast so you can hear them more clearly. I'll put the actual audio up. So you can, I mean, the Luann sound was not ever clear, which is why it was never released, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely muddy. It was a rough cut. It wasn't mastered.
Oh, God. It's never going to get cleaner, darling. That's for sure. I played it over car speakers, and it was like, I was like, damn it.
David.
My dad was like, that could use a little cleaning up. That's like the nicest way to say it. I was like, please be a critic. Because the world needs more critics like that. Well, maybe it just needs a little mopping up, son. That shit
you can
was
say about all these shows.
Ben loved it.
Thank you. As was yours.
Oh my God, David.
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 David. I might just put out just the remix without all her words, because the actual remix of the Real Housewives of New York theme is kind of fun to listen to. Just if you're a fan of that show. It was fun to play around with, darling.
Nothing.
All right. Well, that
Should
was
we get some real gossip.
That was our music day. So thank you for coming to our music day. That was so fun.
So to all the new listeners, welcome. We are ridiculous. So
so good. All right. So what? Let's move on to some Brav's gas.
Yes. All right. The first thing was about, I don't remember what the first thing was.
Well, we have three. We have Brandy, Taylor, and Gina.
Let's start with Brandy.
Okay, yeah. So Brandy was tweeting, I've spent over $50,000 on attorneys for some frivolous lawsuit, and that's bullshit. So now I'm going to represent myself, which,
oh God.
Oh my God. I would love to see that, because you know that's going to be good. She's, objection. Overruled. You're mean. Oh, you're mean to me, you stupid slag. Nobody even likes you anyway, you stupid judge. Why don't you just go do some meth in the bathroom, you loser?
Judge, I will fucking kill you. Do not talk about my family. We weren't talking about. Do not talk about my family.
I'm sorry, I can't understand you. You're racist. You're discriminatory. Bah, Eddie cheated on me. You're going to lose.
Excuse me, Judge. It's Judge. But you look like such a Judge.
Oh, my God. I hope the judge is Caucasian so Brandy can't accuse it of not being able to swim.
She's not really representing herself, but she basically fired her lawyers. And then she says, anyone that wants to help represent me, please contact Alex Shankman. Or I will just be defending myself. Let me know. Depositions are soon. But you know what's funny? You know who else defended themselves? The Long Island Railroad murderer. So that's basically the camp that she's in at this point.
Yeah. I love that she's basically asking for free representation on Twitter. She's like, anybody want to donate their time as a lawyer to me? And it's going to be some weirdo fan who's like, oh my God, I love you, Judge. Lisa Vanderpump was really mean to her. And objection. Okay. Oh my God, can I have your autograph?
What Brandy will say is, all right, I'll apologize to Joanna Krupa, but we both need to apologize.
Yeah, exactly.
Things were said. No, you were the only one who said things.
But she was mean to me, too. I do think it's hilarious that you can sue somebody for saying you have a stinky pussy. I mean, that's kind of crazy. How is that wrecking your career?
Yeah, I do agree that it is a frivolous lawsuit, but considering that it's costing Brandy $50,000, I kind of don't mind.
And she had to already move the second she got fired from Beverly Hills because she can't afford her lease.
Yeah.
Girl, you do not need to be blowing 50 grand. Look, if Joanna Krupa makes money with her vagina, then you have to leave it alone, okay? You can't just be making fun of it. That is her moneymaker.
Yeah, that and like posing naked to save orcas, which is something that Joanna Krupa is apparently doing at the moment.
Oh my God. Have you saved whales by being thin and naked? I'll never understand that. Yeah.
It's bringing awareness. See, just the fact that I mentioned it means that more people are aware that we have to save the orcas. David.
She's like, too many orcas are swimming up on the beach. So I got naked, and because I have a smelly vagina that smells like dead fish, I swim out into the ocean, and I lead them back out into the ocean. So, you know, I'm saving the orcas.
Well, you know Peter. Peter loves the orcas. He's always punching the orcas when they're asleep. That's because he loves him. He's an artist, you know? He has a tattoo of an orca on his shoulder. But, of course, the orca says, Mom.
I wanted to save the orcas, so I go into restaurants and I spread my legs, and people get so disgusted that the orca fat people can't eat no more. So I'm saving the orcas, you know? I'm making them skinny, you know?
You know what my idea for SeaWorld is? Instead of having orcas there, we'll have some real seas there, like Tamara Barney.
They have a documentary about me right now called Blackfish. SeaWorld has been so mean to Joanna Krupa's vagina, everybody. Just leave it alone, okay? Leave it alone.
David. You never take me to SeaWorld, David.
David,
I thought that I was your Shamu. David.
How many girlfriends has the orca splash? David, tell me.
David, I want you to make a list of every seat you sat in at SeaWorld. That way when I get splashed, I know that splash is just for me and not just the memory of your mistress.
Okay, so next up we have Taylor Armstrong. So the rumor is Taylor is back, which, God, I hope this is true. No one else since Taylor. Listen, when there's a fight on a Housewives show, everybody else fights. The first minute there's a punch, everybody else punches. The first second anything is done, someone gets a fake baby in the mail to take care of, and then everybody gets a fake baby in the mail to take care of. Mm. But this one, when Taylor got wasted, then zipped herself up in a suitcase drunk while crying after accusing her husband, who didn't even know she was talking about abuse on that. You know, no one has repeated this yet, which means that Taylor Armstrong is a true original.
That's true. That is very, very true.
She deserves a diamond in her.
She's a maverick. Yeah. She's a maverick.
She deserves a big plastic diamond paperweight in her hand to hold with the rest of those fools.
Absolutely.
So the rumor is that she's back full time. We don't know if this is true or not.
I love
it. But there's already stories circulating that she is fighting with Lisa Rinna. And I figured it would be because she's a drunk. And Lisa Rinna, you know how that goes with Lisa. She'll be like,
yeah,
I know drunks. I know how this goes. Harry's friends have died. You know, or whatever. But apparently, this is going beyond that. And according to the rumors, Lisa Rinna is accusing... Who's accusing who? Taylor is accusing Yolanda Foster of lying about her Lyme's disease.
Oh, my love.
And I guess...
She's lying about me. Yeah. She's lying on me, as the people say.
She's lying on me. So I guess she is being stood up for by Lisa Rinna.
Oh, God. This sounds like it'll be one of those ridiculous arguments that'll be hilarious to watch.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be some good shit. I cannot wait for this season.
Yeah. We have another piece of gossip, courtesy of Derek Hazelton.
Well, hello, Derek. Hello, Derek Hazelton, darling.
So this is funny because the article says ex-housewife Gina Keough is moving in with her boyfriend. And I just started to laugh because I was like, why is that an article, you know? So I was like, okay, well, whatever. But then as I started to read it, I see that she actually released a statement, and she goes, I have fallen in love with someone and decided to move in with him. He lives in a beautiful remodeled place on Lake Mission Viejo.
Okay.
Why would she release that statement? Like, I have met someone in Tustin, and we are going to be moving in together. Thank you very much. No more questions, please.
I met him in the Blu-ray section of the Best Buy while I was eating peanut M&Ms and smelling the popcorn from the snack bar up front. That is all. Thank you.
I met him when I had just recently parked for my class at Curves Fitness, and he was standing there waiting to go into Yogurtland.
The other line with Brooksy waiting for the Oreos to get crumbled up for my Yogurtland parfait. And then Tamara's ex-husband called on the other line, and I was so stressed out with everybody else's boyfriends, and boom, someone was double parked, and it was my new man, who, by the way, has a home that is remodeled. And he is completely current on his rent. So that is all. Thank you. Who cares?
I just want to say thank you, everyone, for the support. I recently met my new boyfriend at the car wash, and we will be moving in together in Costa Mesa. Thank you so much. No more questions at this moment.
My boyfriend has decided to wear plastic jackets in case we ever see Tamara Barney out. Thank you. That is all. We'll be in his remodeled home, which has been remodeled and is in Tustin. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My boyfriend and I, we met while arguing over the last churro at the AMPM, and we will be currently residing in Aliso Viejo from this point on. Thank you so much. No more questions.
Arguing over the last churro. That actually sounds like a way I would get into a relationship. That's the only relationship that would ever last. Like, if we get into an argument with the churro and decide to split it, we're going to be together forever. It's like The Notebook, only nothing's ever written down, ever. Okay, so that's it, right? Did we do it all?
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for submitting your gossip.
Also, people on Bravo, like, make an effort, because that really wasn't much.
Yeah, seriously.
We need some more gossip.
Seriously. Like, Vanderpump Rules Kids, like... Go, like, have sex or something. And get into a light car accident. By the way, Ronnie got into a scooter accident.
Oh, my God.
So lucky to have him alive.
Bendels. You know when those days just, like, something goes bad and then everything goes bad? It was just one of those days. Late to the airport. Then the plane's an hour late. Then I get hit. Well, I didn't get hit, but some lady ran a red light and I almost got hit and skidded out on my scooter. And then I was like, everything's fine. But then my iPhone was shattered. And do you know what a pain in the ass it is getting an iPhone? And they want to charge me $175. Damn it. I don't have that. So I was like, I'm going to go on Craigslist. Screw you, T-Mobile. And I literally said that to the lady on the phone because she was joking. She was like, well, yeah, that's insurance for you. I said, yeah, but if I switched to a new company, that's how much the entire phone would cost. And she's like, yeah, but you're under contract now. Hope you had insurance on your scooter. And I was like, you're really funny, lady. So then I called some guy on Craigslist, and he's like, just meet me in the valley, which, you know, I mean, I was horrified to be seen there on my fancy scooter, which is still chugging along. So I drive over the hill, and that is not the valley. That was Reseda, okay? It was like an hour and a half.
That's deep valley, Reseda.
Yeah, so then we're sitting there in a Carl's Jr. while he's trying to fix my phone, and this homeless dude goes into the bathrooms there, which I had already peed in there, and those bathrooms, they have, you know how people scratch stuff into the walls in the bathroom, like their gang symbols or stuff? I mean, that shit was, like, scratched into the seat. And I was thinking, why do you need your gang symbols on the toilet seat? Like, so you can imprint them on somebody's, like, pasty ass? Like, so what? So they're walking around. They're wearing pants. Like, I just don't get it.
I don't either.
And then he was, like, selling drugs or something in there because he kept coming out to make sure he was okay. And people kept, like, all these meth head-looking people kept coming in and then leaving. And he never left. And then one of the employees went in there. And then spent some time in there and then came out and he was still in there. So I don't know what's going on in the Carl's Jr. in Reseda, but I support small businesses. So good for you. I changed my mind. Good for you guys. So he couldn't fix the phone. So then I went to Reseda for nothing. And then I got back at midnight and I was like, you know what? I'm done. I don't need a phone anymore.
Is the phone broken or is it just the glass is shattered?
Well, the the glass was shattered and it won't turn on. I mean, it was still playing the podcast that I was listening to, so I thought it was working. I didn't even know it was shattered. But apparently a socket for the selfie cam is broken. That's the only part he couldn't get working. And I mean, I need to see what I look like if I'm taking a picture. So,
darling, there's a cell phone place that our friend Sylvia took her thing to, and she had a good experience. So I can get that.
Yeah, they need to replace like a whole socket that's in the motherboard. I learned a lot about phones last night.
It sounds like jargon from 24. We have to replace the socket. Set a hard perimeter. He's getting away, Chloe.
Yeah.
He's right now, Chloe.
So no one cares, but it was just a shitty day. I'm okay. My phone's not. But now I'm just not communicating. And it's actually very nice. Like, I sat on the pot today and actually read the Valpak, you know, that you get in the mail, like with all the coupons.
Yeah, now you can get a car wash.
Because I couldn't read, like, comments or do anything like that on there. I couldn't read my Watch What Crappens Facebook page, which I normally do when I'm pooping. So thank you, Valpak, for all of the commentary that you provide on life. Lots of car washes giving deals, guys.
Oh my goodness. Well, something that was just as entertaining as that Valpak, I'm sure, was The Real Housewives of New York City.
Oh my god. For real. For show. I hope this doesn't cut us off because I have to bring up my Twitter to bring up something that someone named Teb, T-E-B, 25, 39, 54. You know, she has a lot of numbers after her name, but we're friends on Twitter. And this girl can start all kinds of shit. Like, I love following her because she's just like, she is not afraid of a Twitter fight. She's, you know, she'll go for it. So I love following her Twitter fights and stuff. But she sent me a really, really good thing about New York. And it's not a story or anything. It's actually a clip from Carol Radziwill's book, What Remains, A Memoir of Fate, Friendship, and Love. And I would love to read this to you because I think it's pretty fascinating.
Oh, yes, please.
Are you read?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Blah, blah, blah. You don't want it all, but...
Dying.
Let's do the Carol audiobook version.
I follow the pallbearers down the aisle and sit silently in the pew at the front of the church. We scatter Anthony's ashes in the ocean from the beach in front of his mother's house. I stay for 2 days and then go home. The doorman gives me a package of Anthony's things from the hospital. His sneakers, his Swiss Army watch, his gold wedding band. He was handsome and serious, bent over scripts in a hotel room. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
So could you hear the interesting part in there, Ben? Did you?
No. Was it amongst the mucus bubbles? I couldn't hear anything.
Well, I put his ashes into a glass of iced tea, and I've had phlegm ever since. Oh, Anthony!
No, the trick there is we scatter Anthony's ashes in the ocean from the beach in front of his mother's house.
Well, maybe she didn't scatter all the ashes.
Mm-hmm. So wait now. So you write in your book that you've already scattered these ashes, and now, suddenly, you have a storyline about going to pick up his ashes. Come on, now.
You know what we need? We know what we need right now? We need Aviva Drescher to get the bottom of book gate number 2.
Oh, my God. Yes, please. Oh, my God. You couldn't even scatter your own husband's ashes. You had a whole team of people scattering his ashes for you.
This isn't about the ashes. It's about the urns that don't have any legs.
You had a ghost scatterer scattering your ghost.
You took that urn up an elevator. How dare you? You know what? There should have been a banner over that urn that said, "Congratulations, you interned me."
Yeah, so I'm not sure what's up with that, but thank you, Teb. And I cannot believe, or is it T-E-B? I don't know. Teb, Teebs, I love you. Love your picture on the Twitter. Know you well now. But thanks for sharing that. I'm surprised this hasn't been brought up before because that's pretty shady. And that would also explain why the urn's different, why the preacher doesn't know English. So let's just start at the beginning of New York. First off, oh my God, this was legit sad. And I almost felt something enough to cry on the airport, but I was stuck in the window seat next to an obese guy and I could barely breathe. I was like, if you cry, it's going to get all over this guy and then you're going to feel stupid.
I have nothing to add to that because I was not next to an obese man last night.
Well,
I was
you
on
know
my
what?
Couch.
I'm really big too, so it's like our arms. I think I had like an arm. I think I had his armpit stain on my shoulder when I got off the plane. I was like, wow, we really bonded. Thank you for that big hairy fat blanket. That was lovely.
Was it John? Was it John? You better back the fuck up.
You back better back up, mister.
You better back up. Just sit on an airplane. You better back up. Don't talk about John. Don't get back it up.
Hey, is that
our
an
relationship is
sorry,
pure.
Go ahead.
Pure. Back it up.
Did John get an armpit stain on your shoulder? You better back it up. Actually, back it up to his dry cleaning business. Because he's fantastic at what he does. That's my man.
So we
open with the ladies in London. This is mostly like a dead husband episode. So just a warning.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk about that a lot. And we have to
first
be, laughing.
First 10 minutes was like Carol. She goes to this church where the ashes are. And she's doing her like coy thing. You know, and again, I love Carol. But it was a little, I don't know. She could have reeled it in a little bit in this church with this like cool priest dude. And she's basically like, my memories are being with him when he was about to, basically the whole half, first half an hour was like, I remember when he was about to die and someone tapped me on the shoulder and I was like, wow, you know, it's like, okay, great.
It was actually pretty, interesting. Well, a couple of things.
Seth.
Dorinda, you know, we haven't really quite figured Dorinda out yet because, I mean, I think we figured out her out perfectly, but on the show, she changes so much from week to week. It's really hard to tell what the hell this woman's up to. But I loved when she walked into the hotel room and then looked out the window and hit her head on the window. Like,
I don't know. That's so clean, I couldn't even see it.
I mean, look at London. London is so classy. It's so different. It's so refined here. Ooh! Oh, God, look at that. Look at how they make windows in London. I didn't even notice. It's so different from how they are in New York. I forgot how clear London's windows are.
Look at this view. Look at this view. Oh, you better back it up. Back it up, window. Back window, back it up. I'm trying to look through you. Window, back it up.
So that was my first note that she hit it. And then she was saying, I'm lonely. Maybe I could just stay with you. And you can't stay with Carol, okay? Heather will get very upset. There's only one woman sleeping naked next to Carol, all right?
I'm surprised Heather didn't come bursting down the hallway being like, there is a naked man in the next room. It's like, yeah, it's his hotel room. It's a naked man.
How could you do this to me? I was right next to her. I was naked. I have children. Oh, Jesus. I love that we saw a guy in an actual top hat on purpose that wasn't on Big Brother, because it looks way less stupid when someone's actually opening your door for you.
Yes.
And Dorinda's thing mostly this whole time was, wow, look how different London is. Oh, I used to be such a part of the London high society. I just can't imagine that.
Yeah, but I know. I don't imagine that. I can't imagine her and Trene hanging out. She's like, these people are these aren't friends. This is family. This is family. You better back it up, family. Back it up over across the Thames, okay, family? Back it up.
She actually said, London, it's a more gentle lifestyle. I mean, compared to you bitches, fucking living in a constantly turned on dryer is a more gentle lifestyle, okay? You could go to prison and it would be a more gentle lifestyle than the cast of this show leads to.
I know. I think just being across an ocean from Ramona Singer makes it a more gentle lifestyle. Okay.
Carol was getting ready to go pick up the ashes and she was wearing this thing. It's like a, had like a ruffle on the collar. It was like a really high collar all the way to her turkey neck. And collar. It had like bondage things that you had to strap in like a belt on your wrist and your collar, which I thought was weird. And then I don't know if she thought that the preachers were going to be like, I don't know, needed her to cover her waddle. I don't know. They're like, we don't do that here in London, darling. Please cover your waddle when you come into a church.
Darling.
But anyway, I don't know why I'm writing this stuff down, but, you know, that's what you get when you follow my notes. Then on the way, she's saying,
I'm just producing this story in my head.
You've already produced it. And in that story, the ashes are already scattered. Reproduce. So she goes up to this thing that looks like a house. I mean, you know, it was still nice. In America, that would be a strip mall. That's where our churches are.
Yeah.
Our new churches are like next to a Chipotle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she meets Father Darius, who doesn't seem... He's not really English. I don't know. Was he German? He's something.
I thought he was French, maybe.
I couldn't decipher his accent, but he seemed a little confused. And Heather was wearing rubber gloves, like rubber cleaning gloves. I don't know what the hell.
First I was like, yes. I was like, not Heather, Carol. At first I was like, oh, maybe because they're about to handle the urn, she has to put on like surgical gloves or something, like she can't touch certain things, or it's a church, an old church or whatever. And I was like, wait, the priest isn't wearing anything. And then later on when she held the urn, she took the gloves off and I realized they weren't latex at all. They were just gloves, like normal gloves that were the color of surgical gloves.
I found these in my office from the last tenant and thought they looked cute. So.
Get it? Because her office is a kitchen. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. So then she's talking to the preacher and doesn't know if they're supposed to hug. No, you're not supposed to hug. That's what got the Catholic Church into trouble in the first place. No more hugging, all right? And then she went into this weird thing about,
well, my husband was a joker. He's a practical joker. And this seems like one big practical joke.
The priest is like, can you leave now? Thank you.
Yeah. He's like, do you know it's not a joke? Tithing! 10%, bitch! I'm not really sure what she was going after there, like what the joke would be, but
the joke was that she thought she had gotten rid of the ashes and now she's got to go back and get them again.
That's funny. My husband, who to take his ashes out of the ocean, reform himself, and die again in a different church.
And it was a different urn, even. She's like,
this used to be taller and thinner.
I mean, who isn't, right? Who wasn't? So I didn't understand that. It was like a new urn. This whole thing was
basically
kind of confusing.
Andy Cohen burned some newspapers, put them in an urn, and then like called up the church. He's like, hey, this is Carol Radziwill's widow, dead husband. Can you call her up and tell her that you have it? Thanks. And she's like, okay.
It'll be on his Watch What Happens live shelves next to like the Ramona Singer.
Yeah. And, like, he's going to interview it. So, Ashes, what's going on? What's new with you? Shotskis, Ashes.
Jackal of the day. Ashes that come out of the ocean, reform, and put themselves in a fat urn. Who wants a fat urn? Ashes, not cool. Ashes, not cool.
We liked it better when you were called the mummy and starred Brendan Fraser. Thank you.
So Carol's always, she wore rubber gloves, so basically to shake hands with the preacher. That's what I think. And then, so she doesn't know how to handle it, so she hugs him. And then she sits down, and basically he's like, well, you know, the other church, I don't know. I couldn't understand what he said. It got condemned? That's what I thought he said.
It got, like, de-consecrated or something like that. Yeah, or basically, like, the church was like, no more. Get out.
Yeah, they're like, the expiration date of this church has been reached. Get out, church. Burn it down. Put the church in the house. So, for whatever reason.
I'm sorry. This church is going to be the London outpost of Pump, all right? Lisa Vanderpump, our golden child, is returning home, and she's going to make a new restaurant here. So go, get out, religious people.
Church house.
We put in planters instead.
House in a church. We serve breakfast right here now. He's like, I'm sorry, but the church has been cremated. No, bad joke. So, it was consecrated or deconsecrated or unsecreted, I don't know, something. So they're in this new place, and then Carol's like, I'm not comfortable talking about my feelings or giving love. Meanwhile, she's hugging the guy, shaking hands with the guy, and then she starts like therapizing. I know it's not a word, but she's getting therapy from the guy, and he's just looking at her like, what? She's like,
yeah, then we met, and then it was weird because we were working down the hall, and when we met, he had cancer, but I was like, eh, who cares? Because he didn't care. And, you know, cancer never came in between us. And then it did. And then when it finally did, I got so sad and I couldn't even look at him. And then
I was like, what?
It's again, it's like that scene in Airplane. I know you haven't seen Airplane, but like when that woman is talking and like every person that who sits next to her in the air on the airplane winds up killing themselves. And I think there's like a nun who hangs herself at one point.
Come on.
I'm surprised that the priest just didn't like rip off his collar and be like, oh, well, you know what? Guess what? I'm an actor hired by Bravo. I'm done with this. I can't. This is not part of the contract.
Yeah, the preacher just looked like, okay, are you going to pay for the urn or not? Because that was expensive. It has diamonds on it. So she leaves without paying for the urn. And then she gets in the car and puts on Beats headphones. And yeah, we don't hear what she's listening to, but it's really touching. So I was just guessing Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Blank space, baby.
Yeah.
I'm young. It's not about her age. It's just that her music really moves me.
Do that or Lord.
And then she gets in bed and cries with the urn. You know, that was so sad. That's where I actually was like, meh, because I, when people cry, I cry. I mean, I couldn't tell she was really crying, but yeah. I mean, I had a guy sweating on my shoulder and I don't know, I was kind of crying too. It was really sad. But at the same time, I was like, there's a camera right in your face watching you.
Yeah, that's how awkward.
Yeah, so she was crying, and that was really sad. And then, of course, this show is, like, so subtle. We cut to Sonia and Ramona. I'm sorry, that's the lady who raised me. Ramona. Sonia and Ramona. And we meet Raquel, Sonia's new fashion intern.
Yeah, serving white wine and champagne glasses. Darling, that's awful.
And Raquel, the fashion intern, is wearing, like, some Mrs. Roper scarf around her head and skinny jeans from Old Navy. I don't know where Sonia finds these people, but it explains why she's always dressed funnily.
Maybe she put up a posting, a listing on computer number 3.
She's like, Pickles, call your friend Craig's and get on his list.
And if you can't get on his, get on Angie's.
Headbands. Anybody who's into headbands, I want somebody into headbands. Get them over here. So I don't even remember what... she was like talking... She was trying to explain to Ramona, because of course Ramona is such a liar. She's like, everybody was so mad at me, but I wasn't even sleeping with the guy. I didn't even know, okay? You know, one minute Luann's having sex with some guy in the corner of the living room and getting splooch all over all of the beautiful things in the couch. And I said, wow, is this some nature's way, okay? Because when my dog used to pee on things, we would put some nature's way and you couldn't even smell it the next day. And next thing I know, there's some other naked guy there. And I said, you're naked, go to bed.
Like, okay.
Okay. That story made no sense.
I don't even remember that story. I literally cannot even remember the story.
It was like kind of a cut in. And then Sonia's like, oh, well, you just don't understand girlfriend code. Because if you bring somebody home on the beach, you have to have sex with them on the beach and leave them there. Because otherwise, code means that if you bring them inside, then you have to have sex with them. Because that's what they're expecting. I mean, you can't just bring a guy. I didn't know if she was talking about like not making the other girls mad or not making the naked, probably rich guy mad, who's most likely married to somebody else that Ramona totally gave a blowjob to, at least in the bathroom. Let's admit it.
Whoa. This is crazy. Okay, this is crazy. I'm remembering something here. Okay. Whoa, this is really strange, Sonia. This is what you know. What I'm remembering. This is very strange, Sonia. When I was a little girl, I remember there was a pigeon outside, and I loved this pigeon, and I'd always love to give bread to the pigeon. And one day I was like, "Hey, pigeon, why don't you come inside?" So I brought the pigeon inside, and the pigeon flew everywhere and got pigeon dirt on all the walls, okay? And then Geraldine Parsons Smith came in and said, what happened to the walls? I'm going to tell your father. And I said, don't tell my father. But she told my father, and I got in so much trouble and let the pigeon out. And from this day on, I never let anything inside, okay? Everything that's outside stays outside, okay? And that goes for guys, okay? I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Come inside. It's day class A. I'm sorry, okay?
New rule, sorry. So I don't know what the big deal is, but Sonia's like, listen, if you're going to date guys on the beach, that's why it's called sex on the beach. Cause you have sex on the beach, or if they're inside, you have to have sex with them. You know, if you needed further proof that feminism is dead, having a guy over means that you have to fuck him or you're the bad person.
So does Sonia geotag all her sexual encounters? Like, oh, I just had sex on the beach. I just had sex in the bedroom. I had sex in the bedroom last night. I had sex on the inside last night.
Oh, what? I wasn't making out. What did she say? I was wing. Oh, I was just Luann's wing. I was just a wingman. I was a wingman. I was just there to help her get laid. Because you know how Ramona's really good at that. She's like, "Why? Yeah. You found a good-looking man? Who are you? I don't even know you. Why are you trying to talk to this man? I'm talking to who owns this restaurant. Why are you even talking to us?" Turning her back to the entire... Turning her back to Luanna stealing the man.
Girl, this is what... If she doesn't steal the man, then she just cock blocks. And she goes, "Oh, so you're talking to my friend Luann, okay? All right. So what's your name? What do you do? Oh, I don't like that job. Why are you doing that? What? You shouldn't be talking to her. You're not successful enough. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. How tall are you? That's not tall enough. Okay. I'm sorry. No. Do you know anyone who's died? Okay. Want to talk about that for a little bit? Okay.
Okay.
All right.
She's basically ridiculous and denies any responsibility in this sleeping thing. And then Sonia starts telling her all the rules of girl code, which is kind of hilarious. And I couldn't even write them down because I was like, yeah, she obviously doesn't know because she's like fucking a 10-year-old she met in a bar. So I don't know where these rules are coming from. But at least it was her own house.
Well, you know that computer number 3 was programmed using girl code.
Pickles!
Maybe that's why it doesn't work.
Pickles, dictate a letter for me and then send it to Ramona. So then we get delivery interns coming by and they're like these hot guys because Skinny Girl, of course, Bethany's entire storyline is buying things and then being homeless and selling Skinny Girl. So
yeah,
just to even be in someone else's scene that she's not even a part of, she sends over these hot guys who are there to deliver invitations to the Boy Meet Skinny Girl party.
Yeah.
So,
which is, by the way, what every party in Los Angeles is like.
It's called an audition. All right, Bethany. You're just testing him out on a couch? But, you know, that's okay. Just kick him out afterwards. Yeah, it's called an audition. So,
oh, the night pump, darling.
So the new goal of Skinny Girl is to see if this new lime margarita thing even has enough alcohol to get young people enough to fuck old ladies. Which,
by the way, a lime margarita, isn't that the same as a margarita?
Yeah, but now it's a spicy lime or something. It's like magical lime.
Yeah, spicy lime margarita. All right, fine.
Yeah, so then we skip back to Dorinda and Carol talking about all
Dorinda's
this
like,
stuff.
"I made you some tea because I know you don't want to drink after all that stuff with your husband." She's like, "I already had a glass of wine." All right, back it up. Back up that
back
tea.
It up. Bring it. Listen, London is refined, Mr. Jetson. We drink tea here. Let's drink some tea. So, Carol,
Look at the light. Oh, my God. The light here is amazing.
Oh, it's so different here. I don't know. Did they change the light? Oh, they've changed everything. Since I last got here, they've changed the fog. So, thank you, London. Oh,
let's change the... Never mind.
Never mind.
I'm not even going to make a London fog joke.
Carol, okay. It's hard to be Carol because Carol needs people to just be quiet and listen, probably like you feel most of the time on this show.
Oh, darling.
She just needs people to listen, and she's trying to romanticize it. She's like,
"While I was writing it in my head, here I am in a stretch limousine driving through the rolling hills of London."
And Dorinda's like, "Oh, hills. I love the hills. Oh, I knew a girl who lived on the hill. Oh, how we laughed. Oh, London. Oh, I miss being part of this society."
The hills are just gentler here, you know? It's like it's pure. You meet someone in the hills here and you know you have a pure relationship, like the Berkshires. So fuck everyone else, and I never say fuck, okay?
And I want to write... Oh.
"And I want to write about how beautiful and old school..."
I forgot who I was.
I like that you started and you were like, "Oh, Dorinda, sorry, let me change the code."
"The church, how the sun shines on the windows of the gorgeous church. But I can't even write that because now it's next to a Cece's Pizza."
And she's like, "Oh, I knew a girl named Cece. Oh, how we lived. She was friends with the queen. Oh, Cece. Oh, I miss you. I hope she doesn't ask me about my husband." It's like, let the woman talk everything she said.
Let me tell you about Cece's Pizza, okay? Richard loves Cece's Pizza. You know who loves Cece's Pizza even more? John, all right? He eats 5 when I have 1. He loves it, and Richard loved that he loves it, okay? So everyone just back the fuck off. Just back it up. Back it up off and back out of Cece's Pizza. It's my pizza bar now.
They had actually a really nice conversation about what they both went through when their husbands passed away. And it was actually nice. And I don't want to make fun of it. But, I mean, I have to. but when they're talking about it, it's just so, because it's so in both of their personalities, the things that they were saying. Carol's like,
you know, it was so hard because I didn't even know it was really going to get him. And then, you know, we had ignored it for so long. And then I was sitting there next to him and I didn't even want to look at him because, I mean, you know, gross, cancer. So I didn't look at him when he passed. And
then Dorinda's like, yeah.
You see my balloon? You see my balloon?
Dorinda's like, yeah. Well, when my husband died, I mean, finally I slept. I was almost glad. I know that's horrible, but the stress of dealing with cancer. And then Carol's like, yeah, cancer's stressful. She's like, yeah, I finally slept because I couldn't sleep. And then I just wasn't comfortable getting so much sleep. Thankfully, I'm still waking up in the middle of the night, but John doesn't have cancer. He just rolls over on me, and I think I'm dying.
And then I just pretend it's a really big version of Richard's balloon.
Feeling like you're being suffocated in the middle of the night makes me feel like Richard's here. I miss you, Richard. So it was actually a very beautiful conversation. But
it was. It was totally beautiful and articulate and thoughtful and a really nice moment. But of course, because we're assholes, we're going to make fun of it. Yeah.
But I just love that it's intercut with like Sonia and Ramona talking about how to fuck young people.
I know, exactly.
What the hell? So then we go to Dorinda talking about how she used to be in the High Society of London again. Good
right,
Lord.
Right, because this is when all their friends came over, right? And that woman Trini showed up with all the feathers?
Well, they were still gossiping and blah, blah, blah. We can just skip that because, I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. I mean, the dead husband talk really went on for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It and it was very touching. And I was like, I don't watch a show to be touched. Move it on. Move along, darling.
Yes. Yes.
So Lube. Okay. So Carol pointed out that Luann was such a hypocrite. She's like, I really like Carol. I mean, God damn it. I really like Luann, but the Countess is a C word.
She's like, the Countess, about is, how the Countess is abducted Luann.
Yeah, the Countess has abducted Luann. And the Countess is high and mighty and a hypocrite, which of course she is, which is why we love her. Yeah. And then she pointed out that on their last vacation, Luann was the one to barge in with the camera crew into her into her room to try and catch her with something.
Yeah.
And I love that Carol said, and I remember telling her, please don't do that. I could have been masturbating. Like, oh, for Christ's sake.
Jesus. Jesus.
There's not enough Nivea in the world to get that thing back in working order. Stop the crap, all right? We don't buy it. Yeah. So then we go to the skinny girl party.
Oh, yeah. Featuring Jax.
Featuring, yes. Which I didn't notice Jax. Someone on Facebook told us.
I noticed him even before I saw the Facebook thing, which I guess makes me kind of special because I noticed him. No, but I saw him and I was like, oh, God, Jax is like a bartender. There were a lot of low-level celebrity cameos. Chuck Nice was in the background.
Who's that?
He's like a comedian. He was on Best Week Ever. He was like the unfunny one. And then there's, of course, at one point, maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but, you know, while Ramona was looking for all the hot guys, and there was this montage of like her talking to quote unquote hot guys. And at one point, Constantine Maroulis from American Idol hit on her. And he's like, hey, I'm Constantine. And of course he is looking doughier than ever. I mean, he should be at this point working at a Greek diner, like a singing waiter at a Greek diner.
Did he dough up?
Yeah, he doughed up. I mean, you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, he had like pre-fat face. You could just tell because
he was. We like to call it, my friend and I. We like to call it fat ready. He's always been fat ready, and now it's starting to fill in.
And he wasn't fat at all. I mean, I just remember him eye fucking the camera so hard, and I was like, anybody that needy is gonna eventually realize that they can't get the amount of love that they need from a human being, and they're gonna turn to ice cream just like the rest of us do,
or Ramona.
Or Ramona. God bless Ramona. We're the guys, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Guys, okay?
I'm sorry, Constantine. You know, you're a very handsome man, but I'm sorry. You're Greek, and, you know, the Greeks are just, they're just lots of trouble, okay? You're all sorts of bankrupt. I need a man with money, okay? I'm sorry. I don't care if you start the Olympics, Constantine. You don't have any money, okay? And I need someone who has money, okay? It's just how I feel, okay? That's just how I feel.
So I have a question about, was that Constantine the bartender she said that to? No, that was somebody else, right?
No, he just came up to her and was like, hey, I'm Constantine.
Oh, God, I didn't even recognize him. So I have a question. So this skinny girl stuff is like dietetic versions of normal drinks, right?
Yeah.
So how would you make a diet Pinot Noir?
You know, I don't know. Here, I subscribe to this belief, which is that I don't like any of my cocktails pre-made in a bottle.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, yeah, you could just like pour it, make a skinny girl. But like the thing is, a skinny girl margarita, the recipe is like, I forget what it is, but it's pretty simple. It's like vodka, club soda, and like a spritz of lime juice or something like that. Like it's so easy. And although I guess that's more of a vodka and soda. But anyway, the point is, it's so easy to make on your own or to make a large batch. Like, spend the extra 5 minutes and make something that tastes better than this pre-made shit that comes in the bottle, the mix.
And also the Pinot. I don't get it. Like, I don't get how you just put Pinot in a skinny girl bottle and it's dietetic. She probably changes, like, the ounces. You know how things do that? They're like, per serving, it's less than M&M's, but then per serving is, like, you know, like 0.5 ounces instead of an ounce.
Yeah, like Special K does that. You know how I know that? Because one time I was in Ralph's and I wanted a snack, and I like Special K, believe it or not. And then I saw that there's Special K with chocolate in it. I thought, oh my God, I love chocolate. Okay. So then I looked and I was like, oh my God, this has better dietary nutrition than regular Special K. And I thought, how could that be? And then I saw that regular Special K was like, here are the calories and the sugars per one bowl. And then for one with chocolate chips, it was like, here it is for like a spoonful. Okay. And then I got mad. I had none of it. Okay. Sorry. Okay. No Special K for you. Okay.
You know, when I was going to make a wine for Ramona, of course I drank Pinot Grigio, but the reason I won't drink Pinot Noir is because one time I was drinking Pinot when I was a child at home in the Berkshires, and my father, it was Noir outside, and he came out and he said, stop drinking, you little slut, and now I can't drink anything in the Noir, okay?
By the way, my Special case story was a true story. I just was told it in Ramona voice for no reason.
Everything's better in a Ramona voice.
Okay.
So then we get this really adorably horrifying clip of Ramona on a date with that restaurant guy who discussed also fucked Mario's mistress. I don't know why we never got that on the air. But
it came out at the dinner party.
Well, not in front of him and not in front of Ramona.
They confronted him about it, didn't they?
No, they just said, oh, so you're from restaurant. You like restaurants, right? Oh, what do you think of 20-year-old blonde girls? But they never, like, said, oh, you're fucking Mario, the same girl Mario fucked around with, you know, that Ramona, whatever. No one ever brought it up. They discussed it amongst themselves, but not with Ramona and not with him.
Who would have thought the greasy owner of AOA would have banged someone else's mistress? Who would have thought?
He's even cheating on the cheating cheaters.
Yeah.
So that guy's gross, and they're having this disgusting, awkward flirting. It was really hard to watch, and he's like, yeah, it's so good to have you here. I ordered something wet, hot, and slimy. And Ramona's like, oh, I don't eat hot, wet, slimy things since I was a child in the Berkshire. And my father undercooked a steak.
Yeah, go on. I'm sorry. I interrupted your run.
No, I didn't really have a run.
I was going to go in a stranger place because you're like, I had an undercooked steak. In my mind, I was like, this one time I caught an eel. And I thought, oh, you know what? Japanese people, they eat eels. And I sometimes feel Japanese, you know, because I'm very neat and I'm very organized. And I just feel like I'm very Japanese in that way. And so I thought, okay, well, I can have an eel too. So I went to cook it and it was very slippery and slithery. And I had a very hard time. And I was up all night and I had visions of that eel looking at me saying, don't kill me, don't kill me. But I killed it and I ate it. And I didn't even like it. So from this point on, I can't have anything slimy. I'm sorry. Nothing slimy. Okay.
I'm sorry. So he's trying to flirt with her and make sexual jokes, and she's like, divorce is like mourning, okay? You know, Dorinda, you know my friend Dorinda and Carol, they're always crying about their dead husbands, and I'm like, at least he died, okay? You don't have to see him on page 6, okay? I'm like mourning a person who's still alive, okay? It's not like you have to bring to-go things just in case Mario comes home, you know, okay? You're not just sitting there with your refrigerator full and trying to remember when you brought certain things home so they don't poison anybody who might eat them, okay? It's totally different, okay? No one understands my side. Okay, okay, okay! Crazy blinked crying. So that was awkward ass flirting. And then she said, so is this a date or is this just a business meeting?
And he's like, well, if it's a date, then you're paying for it. And then afterwards, we're going to have hot, sweaty sex.
Yeah.
At which point, I think everyone in the audience threw up.
Yeah, pretty. That was pretty bad. I got the reverse boner thing for sure. I felt my penis knocking into my belly button. It was like not only reverse, but it was like so reverse that it was like hard. But you know when it gets hard and then like dances around, like does like a little pop up and down thing? So it was doing that, but on the inside. I felt like my M&Ms were being stirred. So thanks, Ramona. Thanks for that. Yeah. That was gross.
So then we went back to the skinny London. Girl party. Oh, there's more in London?
Oh yeah. Now it's the part in London that I loved because we go to London and we meet. They had a joint party, you know, in some rental in London, probably that lady of London owns.
Yeah. Caroline.
In Caroline.
Scott, is this your place, Scott? Oh no, Scott died.
No, that's not the same girl. That's the Tracy Lords girl.
I know. I just was making a Ladies of London reference.
Oh, sorry.
Just go with it.
Sorry.
I know. I was actually hoping that What's Her Face would show up and talk about her, how she was Alexander McQueen's muse. Oh, Alexander. He died also. I can mourn with you ladies.
I was passing this restaurant in a car one time with Alexander. It's so difficult to be here. Oh, look at the dreadful fashions in here. Alexander would have been horrified. I'd like to make an announcement. I'm horrified for Alexander. I'd like to order a please come back to me martini. Thank you, darling. Have it.
I would like to see her. I'd like to see her mixed with Ramona. Okay. Oh, my God. This lamp over here reminds me of this one time. Okay. When Alexander and I went to a lamp store and he said, I love this lamp. Okay. And I said, I'm sorry. This lamp has already been purchased by me. Okay. And he said, well, that's good because I'm going to use it to make a dress. And I was his muse. I'm sorry. Okay. But that's the truth.
I'm sorry, but when I was ordering this martini, I couldn't help but stare at the olive, okay? Because when Alexander gained so much weight that all he did was yell at all of our staff, he just looked like a little round hole, okay? Looked like a little round ball with one giant hole in it, okay? Please get this olive out of my martini, okay? Come back to me! I'd like my martini mixed with a little bit of come back to me, Alexander, okay?
I love British Ramona. the Annabelle, I think her name was Annabelle.
Annabelle
Nielsen.
They have a joint party and they invite all their old friends. And of course, Dorinda's are like, they're from high society in London. And Carol's are a bunch of gay dudes.
Yeah, hers were like, they're like 25. And she's like, oh, look at this. I'm doing Dorinda, but I can't even do it. I was like,
you were doing Carol.
I don't know. I don't know what I was doing. The point is that I love that even like when she was living in London, she was still trying to be like that super cool young person. Like I only hang out with the 20-year-olds.
Yeah, because those guys are young. So, I mean, at that point, she was just like going to pick people up in front of bus stops. She's like,
yeah.
Your mother sent me.
And then what did Dorinda say? She's like, you better back it up. A lot of all these black jackets, black leather jackets. What happened to the brown blazers? What did she want? She wanted something.
I don't know. But I just love that Carol's friends were all like gay guys who were probably 15 when they met. And then Dorinda's friends were actual people from there, which I really liked. They were actually all just moms and stuff, except for that lady from What Not to Wear. But I like that her friends were all ab-fab. They're like, hello, darling. Welcome home. Oh, darling, you remember your husband? Oh, that was sad, wasn't it? Oh, sweetheart. Oh, I remember what you told me when we had lunch. Remember after you started dating John, darling? She's like, you better back it up. She's like, no, darling. You remember what you said to me? You told me I'm dating this fat, rich Armenian, darling. That's what you said. And Dorinda's like, don't say that. Oh, God. Oh. And I really liked them. I thought all of her friends were really ab-fab and super fun. And I would like that to be the Ladies of London. No offense, absolutely. Ladies of London, but get rid of the Americans and bring in all English girls. I don't care if we understand them. They're fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great note.
And then there's the friend Trini from What Not to Wear, which was so good. The original.
Did you know who she was? I had no idea.
I didn't recognize her until they said she was from that show. But the American version I used to watch, which was like kind of sad because both of the people on it dressed like shit. That Tracy, what's her buns, and then that gay guy with the long iron hair.
Yeah.
I couldn't with that show.
Well, I loved how Trini just came. She just sort of came in and like she just had like escaped some awful experience, like a house fire. She's like, I can't stay very long. I came to say hello. You know, and she has all her feathers going everywhere. She sort of like brushes in and then she all of a sudden is gone for the rest of the episode. I love that. I love when women do that. Like they're just so goddamn busy and they're just like, oh darling, I'm just here holding her gloves in her hand, you know, like Cruella DeVille, but with feathers.
I just came in to look at what the hostess was wearing, darling, and it turns out it's Yoda, and she's sitting there with a bunch of gay guys. So I don't even understand this, darling. I've got to go. Got to go. Bye. May the force be with you, darling. Please don't wear that. Very cute. I liked all the English ladies, and we didn't really hear from the gays anyway. But Carol telling everybody what she's up to. She's like,
yeah, well, I'm a board member now.
I was like, oh God. Yeah. And her friends were just looking at her like, why would you be in service on purpose, darling? Dorinda's like, that's not high society. So what else happened here? Extras and pickles. I don't know what I wrote. I wrote SG, extras and pickles. Oh, skinny girl. Oh, Pickles was out on the dance floor, like shaking it down. I was like, Pickles! And then there were like a lot of extras and stuff and Twitter people, as Nene would call them.
Yes.
And Kristen arrives with Josh. And Bethany's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I mean, I know you now. I know your name. I recognize you. We've met a few times. My walls are down. Thanks for coming to my event. And Josh is like,
we loved you.
Kristen's
like, will there be any geocaching here? Thanks.
And Bethany said, How'd your event go? I'm sorry I couldn't go. Did Ramona wear jeans? Jeans. And she's like, yeah, I mean, it was really great because, you know, it was like my first big event and I had to give like a big speech and stuff. So I did it. I did it really good. I'm pretty.
You know what it's like. You know what it's like to give a speech, right? Don't ask me that. If you ask me another question about me having to give a speech, I would be on the floor crying. I'd be crying on the floor in a fetal position. Walls are up, Kristen. I'm sorry.
Why are you asking me to give a speech? I don't want to give a speech to you. I don't know you. I don't know you. I mean, if Bethany is ever honored with any kind of award, her acceptance speech is going to be like, I don't know any of you. Who are you? Who's giving me this? Why should I take this? I don't know any of you.
I'm surprised Kristen didn't have a panic attack when she saw all those boxes of Skinny Girl. Box out. I just want to be like those bottles.
Inside a party with my friends and still outside boxes.
Wait, was she boxed in or boxed out? I don't remember.
She was boxed out.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure if she thought she was in her own box and kept away from everyone, or she was boxed out from Bethany's box.
No, that would have been even better. Why do you guys keep putting me in a box? All I can hear is like muffled talking. I can't even respond because I'm in a box. Let me out of the box. Let me out.
No, my least favorite videos on YouTube are when cats get in boxes. I'm like, why can't I get in the box with you?
At least that cat's pretty. So she was so impressed that Bethany was nice. She was like, oh my God, Bethany was actually nice to me. Of course, no one else is here yet, so I'm all she's got. And I thought, poor thing, that's probably how she feels with Josh, too. It's like,
yep.
You know, he's nice when he has no one else to talk to. He's like, oh, Kristen, wow, I love you, babe. Great job. And the second anyone else is around, he's like, bye.
I mean, even her kid didn't want to get up for her. She's like, I'm not walking. It's like, come here. He's like, I'm not getting up for you, bitch.
Poor thing. So everybody is late except for Heather, of course. She's so nice. I hope she doesn't get fired just because she's so nice.
Heather?
Not Heather. I keep getting their names mixed up. The boring white girls are like
Heather's leaving.
Heather and Kristen are the same to me. I don't know why. I don't know. I know they don't look alike, but they're both like stick up their ass white girls. So they kind of.
Yeah, no, Heather. Like, Heather is quitting the show.
Yeah, she quit because she doesn't like how she's being represented.
Yeah. Holla! She is Audi 5000. So long, Felicia. Goodbye, Felicia.
So long, farewell, Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye, comma, Felicia. Sincerely, Heather of Yummy Misspelled Designs, stolen from Spanx.com.
Bye-bye, Felicity.
So no one else is on time, and finally Heather shows up, and she's like, hey, mamas, oh my God, mamas, where's the other mamas?
She literally was like that. She was like, mama, and you know, by the way, she was ready to start shit, because you know what, one of the first things she said is, where's Sonia Morgan? Where's Sonia? Oh,
where's
we don't
Sonia,
know where
Mama?
She is. Oh, that's interesting.
Is she drunk? Is Sonia drunk? Does anybody know? Oh, poor Sonia. I really feel for her. She's drunk, right? She's an alcoholic.
I just
want to
help.
Has anybody seen our friend alcoholic Sonia? I'm just saying that because I want to help her. Can anybody help our friend at this party?
Stupid. I just want to help. Meanwhile, Sonia is like getting down. These guys are taking off their shirts, and Sonia's tooth actually comes out because she tried to rip a guy, or she ripped a guy's shirt off with her teeth. And the funny part was she's like, yeah, this, you know, he had his shirt off. You know, it was this hot guy wanted to take his shirt off. I mean, they're all over me. God, this hot guy with his shirt off is all over me. And he cuts to the guy. He's like a gay guy.
Totally.
Like, yes, queen, yes. And she's like, yeah, he loved me. He called me his queen.
Sonia's so funny because that was the best part when she's like, I just want you to know I ripped his cufflink off with my teeth. And then my tooth flew out. Oh, God. And Bethany's like, oh, my God, do you have someone to fix it? And she's like, oh, I've got veterinarians to do that.
Well, you know what? I've been collecting skulls. You know, I use them for parts. So I'll just get a tooth off my skull.
We'll just pick one of Pickle's teeth out from the skeleton I've got hidden under the bed. And I'll just, you know, have a veterinarian. They've got the best glue, those guys. And also notice that Sonia was wearing a headband. So
I didn't
her
notice that.
Fashion intern is doing her job. She's like, headbands are all lit. And Sonia's like, great. Tie one around my head. Also wearing the same red dress that she's always wearing now, that is like the one piece that she got designed for her collection that she wears out all the time now. You know that smells like BO.
Yeah.
That's all she wears. But now it has a headband. We recognize it. We recognize
Marge
it, Sonia.
Marge Simpson in her Chanel outfit. That's what that is.
Too non-smoking. So let's see, where's Mama's and then Ramona with him in. And then Bethany does a wonderful, Bethany got shit faced.
Yeah, she was shit faced because she was smiling. That's how you could tell.
Yeah,
she's having a good time.
She was laughing and doing impersonations of Bethany that were just so fucking good. And she's like, look, Ramona, walls down, Ramona. Look, we found you a hot guy. This guy would date you. And Ramona's like, ew, he's a bartender.
He's like, I won't date a bartender. I'm sorry. You know, he's making it from Boston. He's a bartender.
He's a bartender.
All right.
Like the guy from.
I'm sorry, he's a bartender.
Like the kid from Big Brother. Big Brother?
Yeah.
Listen,
Big Brother,
Alicia.
Jason.
So blah, blah, blah. And then Heather's like, oh, yeah, mamas, everybody's in London. You know, the other girls are in London. I'm sure it's so, I almost said emotional. It's so emotional for them. And then Ramona's like, well, it would be more emotional for Dorinda, okay? It was harder for Dorinda. Dorinda's husband had worse cancer than Carol's, okay? It's like, oh, my God.
And they're like, well, Carol has ashes. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh,
that's
Sorry.
Right. She had to bring Sorry. On an extra check-in. Oh, gosh. So
these ashes remind me of sunshine.
What else happened here? I love when Bethany said, what was it? She wants a model. Oh, she goes, Ramona wants a model who's 55. I mean, what the hell? We're all in Saving Private Ryan. Everyone's going to die looking.
Wow.
Die trying.
So well, this is our second Saving Private Ryan reference this week.
Yeah. You see?
Okay.
Matt will never go
okay.
away.
You know what? I didn't like that movie. You know why? Because it depicted D-Day, all right? Mm. And D-Day is my least favorite day of the year. You know why? Because my name starts with an R, okay? Mm. So I like R-Day, but I don't like D-Day, all right? Sorry, I just don't like D-Day. I don't like Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
Anyway.
So not much else happened on this. I cannot believe we yapped about that for an hour.
I know. You were like, Ben, I just hope we have enough content. Like, I don't want to give them just a one-hour podcast. I'm like, Ronnie, we never give just a one-hour podcast. We can talk about anything.
How are we going to talk about dead husbands for an
by
hour?
By the way, Ronnie does this like once every 3 weeks. He gets really worried that we don't have enough content. I'm like, we could talk about a penny on a table for an hour. Okay? So proof that we can talk about anything.
Oh, yeah.
We are now going to go on to million-dollar listing San Francisco.
Yes. And we told you guys on the last podcast we were going to talk flipping out. And the reason that we're not is because I'm getting my Bravo off the internet these days. I was in a terrible accident yesterday. No, just kidding. I was, you know, I couldn't record it because I wasn't home all day yesterday. So I couldn't, like, manually record on my computer. So I was like, oh, surely it'll be posted. Nope, never posted. Why flipping out? Is there no fan who is like torrenting this shit? Come on, people.
I am flipping out. I am literally flipping out right now.
I'm flipping out. The bitching outing.
flip the bitch out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so $1 million listing, San Francisco. So I wrote a bunch of notes, but my notes were sort of sporadic because, you know, there are a lot of fast scenes that cuts back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And there was a lot of stuff that wasn't that – it's not that it wasn't interesting. It's like it's not noteworthy. Like what am I – be like, oh, and then he showed off the ensuite. Oh, my God, that guy.
Yeah.
You know, like what am I supposed to say? But I will say this. Look, we can first start talking about the realtors.
Yeah, let's just do an overall to start.
Let's talk about the overall, and then I'll get into my notes. First of all, there's Andrew. Andrew is like – you know, they always have like the one asshole cocky realtor. He is this one's. I don't mind him that much. He's cocky, but it feels a little put on. He's not as bad as the ones – like, I hate New York. The cocky ones in New York are just, like, over the top.
New York but just seems too phony to me. And I know that they're all phony. It's like – and especially now that there's three, we can see it's paint by numbers at this point, and they're all phony. Yeah. But the L.A. one felt like those – it feels like those guys are being themselves, even if the situations are set up. And I don't watch it now that there's the British guys, by the way. So because that seemed the same guys. Way. Phony baloney. I wouldn't watch it.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, the way you know that it's scripted and, like, really, really scripted is that the Podbuster, that little, like, 45-second bit that they did, the one on this week's episode was Ro trying to, like, come up with a tagline or trying to, like, have, like, a button for when he sold something. And he was like – he was like, ding, 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 ring the ratification bell. And they're like, that's too long. He's like, okay, what about, yes, I did it. They're like, no, do it again. They're like, yeah. They're like, no, try again. Holy cannoli. No, already taken. Oh, my fucking God. That has a curse. You know, it's like, wow, they're making a joke of the fact that they've completely scripted this show.
Yeah. I like that they're doing that, actually. They're showing the producer. Well, they're not showing them, but we're actually hearing the producers ask the questions.
Yeah, because we're not idiots. Yeah, we're not idiots. Yeah. They do it a lot on this show. Like when on the series premiere, you heard a lot of the producer because that guy, Justin, giggles so much in his interviews. But so Andrew, though, I remember on the first episode, he said he was like 31.
No way. Like, 31?
Nope. Like 31, 32. The point is he said he was younger than me. He's at least 10 years older. Yeah, he's old, which is not inherently wrong, but don't lie about it.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't have any ageism here. Look, I'm about to be older, but... you know what? So what? Why deny it? Just be 40. If you're going to be 40, be 40. Who the fuck cares? Like, it's better to be 40, like to say, I'm about to be 40, because people go, oh my God, you look so young, than to say, I'm 31, and then people are like, oh my God, have you just sat out in the sun for 31 years because you look 40?
Yeah.
You know? What's better?
Yeah. But overall, I actually like the realtors on this show. I think that, you know, Justin, you know, he's adorable. He seems really sweet. He laughs a lot. That's always a nice quality
he's
about
really
someone.
Really cute, and he's not really as cute. Arrogant as most super short guys are, because a lot of times with short guys, by the way, have a total fetish for short guys, so if there are any hot ones out there, I'm here. But he's like looks little, and he kind of looks like a little leprechaun, but hot.
He looks like a Greek leprechaun. It's funny, because in all the print ads leading up to the show, he looks like an asshole. You know, he's like very serious and he has that look. You're like, oh, this guy's like an asshole. And then he's like the sweetest guy. Very likable. Ro is also likable too. He's sort of like, he's trying to make a name for himself. Former
like
party boy.
One.
Yeah, he's sort of the dumb one, but he's nice. You know, when you contrast this with New York, where you have the Swedish porn star who's just annoying. You have the other guy who's like overly cocky to the point where it's like, okay, you're putting on a persona for TV. And then you have the Puerto Rican dude who is like, annoyingly earnest and just really annoying. Like they're annoying. I'm sorry. Annoying.
Yeah, I won't watch
these guys. I like these guys. Even the asshole guy. He's not too assholey. He's just enough
that
to make it
a bitch. Like I don't like that he's a little bitch. Like he bought everybody's domain name and that's what he's holding over their head.
Yeah.
Then he owns stupid. Everybody's.
Well, you know, in San Francisco, that's like stealing the firstborn. You know.
I'm surprised those guys didn't own their domain names. I mean, hello. Did you not hear our discount code for HostGator or whatever the hell that shit was?
GoDaddy years ago. What was I going to say? Oh, so first we have Ro. Ro's storyline wasn't that interesting. He had a star architect apartment. It was like this apartment designed by a famous architect. And what I love about this show is how they can make massive drama out of nothing because they're showing it around. Everyone's like, oh, I love this view, love this, this view is to die for. These fixtures are wonderful. And then they're like, they get in the master, they're like, and where is there more closet space? No, this is all that there is. It's like, dun, 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 dun.
And he's commercial like, well, bridge. Artists don't worry about closet space. They just worry about the art. Yeah. That's not going to sell. Well, maybe it did sell. I don't know. They all sell on this show. That's the thing I like, too, about this show. It's always a happy ending. They're like, will it work out? Will it work out? Well, it's not going to work out. Oh, it totally worked out. Yay. And then it ends. It's always happy.
And then more evidence that it's totally scripted, and I was going to talk about this later, is that whenever things are getting really tense at the end of the show where someone's like, I'm not happy with what you've come back to me with, I'm telling you right now, if you don't get that number up, then I don't know if I can continue on with you. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I am not happy about this. And they're like, okay, let me just call them and see what I can do. And I call up, like, this is like, we need it to be higher. This is just not enough. I know you love the house. Like, you got to get up. They're like, fine. All right. This is what I'm going to do. Only because I'm your friend. All right. I'm bringing it up from 2.5 to 2.559 and 30 cents. All right. All right. Great. Thank you. And he goes back to the guy who's like, I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be 2.559 and 30 cents. Mm-hmm. Well, looks like we got a deal. That was great. I'm like, you were so angry and now you're smiling. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. You would be like, if it were realistically, I think you'd be like, all right, fine. Take it. You know?
A couple of my generals about this is Roe is so funny to me because he's the first that I know of, like, out of the closet, beard wearing Muslim guy to be on one, not only a $1 million listening show, but on a Bravo show, I think. I mean, there was like that girl from Blood, Sweat, and Heels who was like, like this guy, they actually show his gigantic family and show what it's really like. Which is awesome because it reminds me of my Lebanese family. Just like people everywhere. It's like 100 people at a family reunion or whatever. And I like that. And I like that he's
There's Shahs of Sunset, right?
Well, I wouldn't call them practicing Muslims. Would you?
Some of
I mean, come on. I was surprised that she couldn't go into the front door of a church in fucking Iran. She's like, what? Yeah,
that's true.
This is so sexist. I'm like, you know you're in Iran, right, you dumb bitch? She's like, no, I'm gonna go in the front. I had to sit in the back, whatever. You're in Iran, welcome to Iran, stupid. But I guess maybe represented by a man then.
They were in Turkey, by the way, but anyway.
Didn't they go to Iran?
No, they just got close to Iran.
Oh yeah, they couldn't go over the border because they'd all be burned to death.
But right? you're like, you're in Iran, stupid. I'm like, they were in Turkey.
Well, whatever. You're like in your birthplace, okay? And you that's don't know so Persian. How anything works. Yeah. So my ignorance is like so in line with that show. That's so Persian.
No, but I know what you're saying. It's cool to see sort of like a like the Muslim faith being portrayed on TV
in a
like non-terrorist way. Yeah.
And also that, like case, you know, with all brother. The talk of immigration and all that stuff, and we've already gone on about that, so don't worry. I'm not about to rant. I have no anger today. But I really like the view of the old school family and then what the new school kids are like because they're raised here. You know, everybody's like, the immigrants do this, this, and this. And it's like, you know what? Give them a chance. They just got here. Let their kids grow up, and they'll be just as American as the rest of us, just like everybody in my family, you know? And on this show, that is very evident. It's like he's a practicing Muslim, has his full-on beard, and he's like doing his call to prayer while he's waiting in the car for something and eating what looks like a ham sandwich. I'm like, there's nothing more American than that, you know?
He used to be apparently not as religious because I think in the first episode he talked about how he was like a partier and he was like a b-boy who'd break dance and everything. And there were pictures of him when he didn't have the beard when he was younger and he was like really hot. But then he like found religion and now he's religious.
I love that he doesn't know words. Like he's always trying to grow his vocabulary, but he uses all the words wrong and it's very funny. Like, it's ratification day. What? What are you talking
about? Ring the ratification bell.
Or when in one episode, because I watched a couple on the plane too, he was talking about, he's like, I mean, they're just matriculating. Isn't that what he said?
Is that the word he used?
He's like, they're just matriculating. And then the producers are like, what is that? And he's like, you know, socializing. And then they made him look it up, and it was nothing like that.
Yeah.
But I like him because he's kind of he's kind of a bimbo, and I think it's cute.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah. So the storyline that there were, you know, there was obviously three stories going on this week, but the only one that I really cared about was Justin, who has a new client. His name is Alan, and he's dentist to the stars. And he's also, I'd like to add, the creepiest dentist in San Francisco. This guy was like just staring. He basically wanted to fuck Justin the entire time. The only reason why Justin was hired was that he wanted to just get in Justin's pants. He wanted Justin to do things to him very, very, very badly.
Yeah, he's gross, and he's also gross as a person. You know, he's like, oh, look, that's what Taylor Swift gave me. Oh, did I tell you I got a birthday card from the royal family? That he's Prince like, Charles he's like, got, loves his shoebox greetings. I'm like, shut up, queen.
I know. He's like, I got a Christmas card from Prince Charles. Well, you know what? Prince Charles, there's probably like a mailing list, and he writes his signature, and they just print it all out, and it goes out to like a few thousand people around the world, which is still cooler than the, you know, people who didn't get it, but it's really, it's not that personal. He probably doesn't remember who you are at all. You just got onto a list, and you basically got something from a printing press. That's what you got. So just
Prince Charles
back
is like,
darling, bring me
a quill. I need to write a shoebox greeting to that lovely homosexual, orange-faced homosexual in San Francisco, America. And I want to tell him, thank you for showing me your old person's home. Like, what the hell with that place? It's like peach-colored with, like, old people things everywhere. And he's like, watch that. I got that comforter from the royal family. It's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. And then when Justin was showing it around, he's like, yeah, my client actually installed this wainscoting. I'm like, oh, so Alan is actively pursuing some sort of like Mrs. Peacock role play. That's what's happening here. He wants his place to look as old lady-ish as possible.
And I love how they try and upsell the views every time they talk about it. They're like, okay, sure, the place looks like it was decorated by a golden girl. But, you know, look at the patio or look at the roof deck. It's beautiful. I mean, you can see Alcatraz.
Every place you can see Alcatraz. No, every place on this show, they're like, and look, you can see Alcatraz. It's like, okay, which place can you not see Alcatraz from?
Mom, we can see the prison. We can see the old prison. Like, wow.
But then I love that then he has a private showing, and then there's a kid like spraying like fruit juice on the carpet, which obviously the producers told the kid to squirt it. But you know what? What bothered me was not that the kid was doing it. What bothered me was that the kid was like drinking from something called like Honest Kids grapefruit juice or whatever. It's one of those annoying like San Francisco Whole Foods Shark Tanky things. I was like, get out of here with that stupid pouch. Get your Capri Sun. Be a real kid.
Yeah, and also he had the typical moms. He has two moms, and they're like, okay, just run around with your Capri Sun in this fancy apartment that we don't own.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't mind if our dog just runs around, do you? Like, lady, okay, you can impose your non-rules wherever you are, but in society, your dog is on the leash, and your fucking kid is in your hand, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Fuckers. So then later on, Justin goes over to see Alan to be, because Justin's whole thing is that he wants to get this listing posted on MLS, which is, I think, some directory for realtors. And he goes up to the rooftop, and they're like, it's like a, it looks like a luncheon is set up. There's like 20, there are two tables with 20 seats, like a place setting set up. And Alan's like, oh, my good friend Kathy Hilton's showing up for brunch. I'm like, why do you have 20? It's like, what is this, like an awards reception? Why are there so many? Why are there so many places set up? But then he mentioned Kathy Hilton's name so many times in the span of like 10 seconds. He's like, oh, excuse me, Justin. Kathy Hilton is here. Excuse me. Let me just go downstairs to get Kathy Hilton. My good friend Kathy Hilton's downstairs. I don't want to keep my good friend Kathy Hilton here. Oh, Kathy Hilton, welcome. Come to the roof. Kathy Hilton, why don't you come on over here? Justin, this is Kathy Hilton, my friend Kathy Hilton. Not to be confused with my friend Prince Charles. This is my friend Kathy Hilton.
No one can wear a terrible outfit that doesn't fit her properly like Kathy Hilton. Come on in, Kathy Hilton. Meet everybody, Kathy Hilton. Welcome to the Kathy Hilton lunch table, y'all.
Yeah.
I love that everybody acts like Kathy Hilton's actually done something, and she's not just like the madam of the chick who blew a load on the internet or who swallowed a load on the internet and got famous. What did Kathy Hilton ever fucking do? Why is she? Why does anybody care? I don't get it.
She was on a failed reality show on NBC. That's it. Kathy Hilton does nothing. Here's what she does. She keeps her mouth quiet for the most part, which makes her seem classy by comparison to her half-sisters.
Well, the bitch knows how to sell children. I'll give her that much.
Yeah. So then Alan and Justin, she's like, well, why have we not sold this house? Because she's like an Alan enabler. She's like, $4 million, that's a steal. And she's like, well, why hasn't this been sold? And Justin's like, well, we just haven't been able to get a lot of showings. We really need to post it on MLS. And then Alan's like, well, I don't want people coming through my home. I'm like, this isn't the White House.
No kidding. This house can only be improved by people coming through it. If they get mud on the carpet, it's hiding the fact that it's like off the Golden Girls set. Okay?
That honest kid's grape juice actually improved the carpet.
Yeah. Someone's going to come in there and be like, well, it's ugly, but at least it smells grape flavored. I'm in. I'll take it. $4 million. You've got it.
He's like, the only people I want coming through are Kathy Hilton and her shoes. I don't know,
and that anyone is that Prince Charles knows.
Yeah. I don't want any of those commoners in there. I only want Kathy Hilton. You know, she's not a commoner. She's just a woman who has a daughter who had a sex tape and a son who's been in jail for drugs.
So most of this was just showing houses and stuff. But I loved when they showed the gay couple.
Yeah.
The gay guy's about to get married, so they showed him and his fiance. That conversation was so funny. He's like, well, babe, we need to plan the wedding. He's like, babe, I'm not sure because there's like stuff that we haven't experienced yet. And he's like, what do you mean? Yeah. He's like, well, you like have the experience like where you like dated girls and I haven't experienced that yet. I'm like, what if I want to do that, babe? And he's like, so you want to experience vagina? And he's like, yeah, maybe. I mean, like, you did it. It's just, like, seems unfair. Like, I mean, it's going to be hard to take vows when, like, everything's unfair. And I was like, what is this conversation? Like,
that just, it just goes to show that Andrew must be so unappealing that even his fiance is like, you know, I want to reconsider women.
Yeah.
I'm a flaming gay man. And you are so unappealing that I'm actually thinking of going to a vagina.
I'm going to tape a popsicle stick to my penis so it stays hard, babe. And then I'm sticking it in a vagina unless you give me my domain name back. Okay?
He's like, I can't believe that you would rather sleep with a woman than me and my youthful 31 years of age, which I am.
You know who that guy is just like? And I don't mean personality-wise, but his mannerisms and the way he talks and the way he kind of wink. Like, he does this wink. It's not a twitch, but like a wink thing when he talks. And he does this when he's annoyed. He like does a quick eye roll and talks out of the side of his face. His mannerisms are just like your friend Ryan. Just like him. I cannot stop seeing him now. And he doesn't look like him. It's just his mannerisms. Watch it next time. You'll totally see it. They talk just the same. So anyway, what else happened?
So basically, Alan and Justin had dinner, and Alan said that the reason why he didn't want to put the listing on MLS is because he didn't want people to know that Justin was his realtor, which really proves that he was hoping to have some sort of sexual detente with this guy. He wanted to be sexed up by Justin and then drop him to the curb, so then no one would ever know that he was his realtor. But so then Justin was like, well, I can't have you as a client. I'm sorry. Like, if you're not going to let me do my job, I can't have you as my client, which means the next episode, Alan's going to call up and be like, you know, I've been thinking about it and I think I want it on MLS. And then they're going to go through the whole rigmarole again. And there's going to be an open house. And then there's going to be a thing at the open house. And then there's going to be a vase of flowers that needs to be put on the counter. And then Andrew's going to show up. And what's Andrew doing in my open house? I can't believe this. And now we're going to come in at 3.2, but we're putting it up for 4 point something.
Done. Yeah, basically. I just like seeing the pretty apartments and seeing like weird, you know, just like the weird idiosyncrasies of each town. Like being excited that you see the prison and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
and
I like seeing San Francisco on.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and I like the guys on it. I'll probably watch it again. I don't know that we need to talk about it every week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it if we need to plug it in. I mean, we are in the dog days of Bravo summer. I mean, even Odd Mom Out is going off the air next week. So, I mean, we are running out of content, but we will always find the scraps. I mean, we'll have to start covering and watch what happens at this rate.
Well, some good shit happens on there, apparently, because some of the best stuff is coming out of there, like that Megan Pink-haired rant against other people and, like, being a bitch. And then everyone's, like, turning on her on Twitter about her pink hair. You know, like, some fun stuff happens. I mean, all we do is make fun of stuff. It's not like we have to be respectful.
Keep poking at me, Megan. Keep it up.
These judgy eyes are going to go find their coat. Megan, Miss 30-year-old.
Megan?
Judgy eyes.
So that pretty much wraps us up, eh? Do you have anything else to say, Bean?
I have nothing. I mean, we've had singing. We've had crying.
Oh, yeah. That was our Bravo Music Day. That feels like days ago.
I know. It was.
Keep on listening because those songs will be posted right after we press stop on the Skype. So stay tuned. And anybody who has Bravo links to new leaks, please keep sending them to us. We love listening to them. Go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens for our bonus episodes. I think our next bonus is going to be us watching the previews of a bunch more Bravo shows coming up, like Manzo to Children and Toddy for the Potty and Workout New York or whatever, because we really like doing that live trashing of stuff together. So we'll probably do that for the bonus next week. So go there to find those. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Thanks to everybody for supporting us, and we will see you Tuesday. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Listen up, girls. Class is in session. If you were at a party eating dinner as a guest, would you sneak behind the hostess back to bang the hired chef? No. Your friend brings home a pirate that looks like Johnny Depp. Do you go for sloppy seconds without missing a step? No.
We could be a team. Share lipstick and Tanner. Life would be a scream. You just need simple manners.
Girl code.
Slumber party, pinky squares. Fighting over billionaires.
Clinking, drinking, riding, running limousines. Just remember, darling, you're a princess, I'm a queen.
Fiddling on a beach while we're on a fat vacay.
Do you ignore the friend who brings a plate of eggs a la Francaise?
No.
You're carrying a title across the desert sand.
Do you try and buck her off and make her look like a fool in front of the women who are only here because she planned this trip?
No, but a camel would apparently. Not girl code camel.
We could rule the world. Keep the T-Rex riled. We're a vermin show.
Just don't cross the countess, child.
Girl code, mama.
It's called
girl code, mama.
Giggles, champagne, caviar, teamed up and the world is ours.
Diamonds, beaches, younger men and glitter. Sister friend until the end, or till I'm out on Twitter.
About a girl's back, she'll be there when you tumble. Cross her, don't come back, she's ready for a rumble. Lunch, brunch, happy hour, party like Rio, New York.
BFF until you eat your salad with the dinner fork.
Girl code, mama.
Be cool. Don't be all like uncool.
David? 40 to 50 negative thoughts a day. Who would have thought I could have reached this beautiful place?
David?
Okay, Miss 30-year-old.
David?
My star cherries.
David?
Judgy eyes.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet.
The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.